Should Rod Rosenstein be fired? We're going to talk about that right now during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Steve Cortez, who's a CNN political commentator. He's also on Trump's Hispanic Advisory Council. And recently, Steve, you wrote a piece basically saying that Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, should be let go. Why?
You know, I believe he should. Unfortunately, by the way, because somebody who was appointed by Donald Trump, which mainstream media loves to point out constantly, right, and that he's allegedly a, you know, registered Republican, as a lot of these DOJ people are, who I am not, you know, a big fan of, DOJ slash FBI leadership. But here's why. I think there's a couple of reasons. The biggest one by far is that so far he is impeding and frustrating the efforts of Congress, particularly of the Devin Nunes Committee, to obtain documents related to DOJ and FBI behavior under President Obama's tenure, particularly as they relate to their investigations, many of which I think were, you know, at best sketchy, at worst illegal, of the Trump campaign. So he is not complying with very lawful, very proper requests for documents. To me, that's insubordination. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. So I think that's a big reason for him to be let go. But then the second reason, which I also think is it's more political, not as legal, but still important, is he has totally failed, Rod Rosenstein, to supervise the Mueller probe. Because Jeff Sessions recused himself, and I wish he hadn't, and I think that was a mistake, but because he did, Rod Rosenstein is in charge of supervising the Mueller probe. He has shown an either unwillingness or just an incompetence in terms of, in any way, supervising and directing this probe, because we know that Mueller is going literally everywhere, you know, without limitation, trying to investigate anyone who has ever said anything nice about the president. And this is so far afield from the original purpose, which was supposedly about Russian interference, that I think that's an additional reason that Rosenstein has disqualified himself from this role and should be fired.
You know, I don't even understand how this Mueller investigation at this point, how is it constitutional?
Right. No, I don't think it is. And by the way, the president tweeted as such that it's not. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people get confused because many of us who, you know, experienced the 80s and 90s with the Iran-Contra Independent Counsel and with Kent Starr and Bill Clinton, I think we just automatically almost assume that Mueller is the same. Well, that statute of the independent counsel has expired. And thankfully, I believe, right, because a prosecutor who answers to nobody is a really un-American idea. And that no longer exists. Robert Mueller is part of the Department of Justice, part of the Department of Justice that we elected Donald Trump to be the chief of. Now, listen, does that mean that Trump can't be investigated? No, of course not. But the point is, the Constitution is very clear. It means that the Congress, who is co-equal to the executive branch, they are absolutely entitled to investigate the president and to, in extreme circumstances, remove the president. But is the president's own executive branch entitled to have an operation within it of 13 lawyers who are totally, in my view, corrupted and conflicted, to operate as if they're their own agency, you know, unanswerable agency within the government? No, I think it's illogical, and I think it's unconstitutional. I really do.
And it seems as if Trump has not been shown to have any kind of part of collusion with Russia before the election. And in fact, if there was any collusion with Russia, you could say, well, certainly was some on the part of the Clinton, the charity that they ran, whatever it was called. But, right. You know, it's not on the same level, I don't think.
No, look, Jerry, I think you're exactly right. The irony here, the paradox, is that if there was collusion, and by the way, collusion in and of itself is not a crime. Now, I think it would be bad policy, of course, had mm-hmm. the Trump team colluded. They didn't. But collusion in and of itself is not a crime, first of all. But if there was collusion, if there was cooperation with foreign powers, the evidence is actually overwhelming that it was on the other side. You're exactly right, particularly when it comes to Fusion GPS, which was funded by both the DNC and the Clinton campaign, using largely foreign operatives, British and Russian, to dig up dirt, most of which has been totally discredited, all of which that matters has been discredited, about the Trump campaign, and then fed to our intelligence services and used as a pretext for supervision and surveillance of the Trump campaign. This is something that's unprecedented in American history. The idea that it's okay to use the full powers of the federal government, the investigative and spy powers, and yes, I will say the word spy because that's what it is, to surveil an opposition campaign. Number one, I think that's unprecedented and dangerous. But number two, it was based on the pretext of this ridiculous dossier, which was actual collusion of the Democrats and the Russians, or at least Russian operatives, to produce this ridiculous piece of work. So, yeah, on so many levels, this probe is improper, it's unfettered, and it has to be reined in.
And another thing, too, do you think when all the facts finally come out, do you see President Obama having played some kind of role, or at least, you know, initiating or approving of spying on Trump, the candidate?
Right. Listen, it's a great question. I will tell you this. You know, I'm obviously no fan of President Obama. One of the reasons I campaigned so hard for President Trump is I was so troubled by the slow growth and the, in my view, terrible record of the Obama presidency for America. But as an American, I hope that he wasn't involved. I really do. I hope it didn't reach the highest levels of our government, because that would be a terrible scandal for our Constitution and for our beliefs and way of life. But I will say, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a heck of a lot of smoke. If it didn't get all the way to the president, it certainly got very close. And that's why I believe that the president was right to ask, or to demand of Rosenstein, and one of the few times I think Rosenstein acted honorably, to demand of him, we need a full accounting of what happened under the Obama DOJ, Obama FBI. Now, Rosenstein, rather than doing it himself, as I would prefer, punted it to the inspector general of the DOJ, but nonetheless, at least a positive move, I think, to getting answers. How did this happen? And there's a lot of questions and not very many answers on their side.
Do you think that the real problem here was with the top leadership of the FBI and certain members of the Department of Justice, but it doesn't, you know, reach down into the rank and file?
Jerry, absolutely. No, I mean, this is such an important point to make, because I hear this a lot from the critics of the president, particularly in mainstream media, where they say he is assailing, you know, the FBI as an institution. No, quite the opposite. I think he's trying to protect the FBI as an institution, one that has earned the respect of Americans because of the tens of thousands of people who work every day at the FBI and within law enforcement generally and the DOJ to protect us and to protect our Constitution. I view it, as a matter of fact, as a betrayal of those people, of the hardworking FBI to do dangerous work for not a lot of money, not a lot of glamour. Right? It's a betrayal of them that there was this incredibly politicized leadership of their organizations, people like Comey and Strzok and McCabe.
Yeah.
And that group, and I would say Rosenstein among them, by the way, too, and that group really betrayed the almost sacred trust of the American people and of their own organizations by acting in a way that was political rather than justice-seeking.
In an article you've written about this subject, you've actually likened, I guess it's Mueller, you've likened him to an American Torquemada. Torquemada was the notorious leader of the Spanish Inquisition going back several centuries ago.
Right. And listen, a bit of hyperbole, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? But my point is that he is like Torquemada in that, is this really about finding justice, or is this about finding enemies and punishing them? And I think that's my point, too. And like Torquemada, are there limits on him? Who, you know, to whom does Mueller answer? Right now, because Rod Rosenstein has checked out, again, through either incompetence or through willful disregard, he answers to no one. And the idea of a prosecutor in search of a crime, I think that is also fundamentally un-American. It's not how we do not start investigations to find a crime. That's not the way it works in the United States or in any country with real jurisprudence. There's a crime committed, then we investigate. The opposite's the case here. And not only that, an incredibly biased prosecutor, from every indication we have, and his team incredibly biased against President Trump. I think, too, here, let's cut to the chase. Like, is this really about crime? Is this really about the Justice Department finding irregularities within Team Trump? I don't think so. It's about impeachment. Let's just be honest. That's what this is about. There is a hope among the left, among the anti-Trumpers, even on the supposedly Republican side, that if the Democrats retake the House in November, come January of 2019, that impeachment is very much on the table again. And they need a pretext for impeachment. They are hoping that Mueller will give them that excuse, no matter how flimsy. And I really, truly believe, unfortunately, that that's where Mueller lives. It's where McCabe was. It's where Comey was. That's what this is about. It's about the Washington cronyist swamp establishment trying to reverse the will of the people in 2016 because they still can't believe they lost. And rather than fight back on the merits, they'd rather try to use legal subterfuge to overtake the 2016 electoral revolt.
President Trump has likened this to a witch hunt. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it is. It is a witch hunt. I mean, I don't know another way to characterize. Again, I'll tell you, the idea that you can look at a man's life, which is what Mueller has done, and particularly a complicated life. This is a self-made billionaire. This is a mogul. Complicated financial affairs. Interactions with thousands and thousands of important people, both at home and abroad. Mm-hmm. The fact that they put this kind of microscope on him, and that so far the best they've been able to come up with are a few indictments of people who, while they had some relationship with the president, these activities, for instance, Paul Manafort, had nothing to do with Trump, right? Yeah. Things that Paul Manafort did well before he ever worked for the Trump campaign. That's the best they can do. It actually tells me, and I think illustrates, that this president, both as a public citizen, as a private citizen, and now as a public official, has been largely just beyond reproach. And it's time to, here's the other thing I believe, Jerry, is, this can't be unending. There has to be a sunset date. We have to say at some point this has to end, because the business of the American people, of jobs, opportunity, security, all of that's getting better. Trump's approval ratings are showing that. They're trending massively in his direction in 2018. The people are starting to tire of the nonsense of the Mueller probe. My advice to the president, I told him this personally, is to get more control over this. I think one of the best ways to do that is fire Rosenstein and get someone who will actually supervise this probe and at a responsible point end it and say you have to either put up or shut up.
Okay, what do you think about Rudy Giuliani being part of the Trump team?
Well, listen, I like Rudy a lot, know him well. I think he's done a good job so far of being less cooperative, quite honestly. I think that previously the president, out of good intentions, the president and his team tried to cooperate. I think tried to assume that the Mueller probe was staffed with sort of good actors with good intentions. I think we found out that's not the case.
Yeah.
So it's time for a more confrontational framework. And Giuliani, I think, was brought in largely for that reason. I love that he's lately said we are not going to submit to an interview. That's ridiculous. The president does not have to submit to an interrogation by his own subordinate. And that's what Mueller is. And that's, again, what I think people don't realize. Yeah. Mueller works for Trump's Department of Justice. He is not an independent counsel. He's not like Ken Starr. That no longer exists. So the idea that he has to submit to his entreaties, I think, is unconstitutional. It's illogical and just, a bad tactic. So I like that Giuliani is taking a more confrontational approach. And by the way, I don't mean that just because, for the sake of confrontation or because I happen to be a Trump partisan, which I clearly am. I think it's better for our country. Really do. The business of the country is getting better in every sense. Employment, security. These are, I think, the macro themes that matter to most Americans. I submit that most Americans who aren't part of the mainstream media or aren't part of sort of the Washington intelligentsia, I think to them, they've tired of this Mueller probe. And enough is enough.
All right. Hey, excellent point to end on. Again, your Twitter handle is at Cortez Steve, and Cortez is spelled Cortes. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.